scriptures I'm teaching so you can take it home and reference it in the future. Amen. For your use. And you will see that everything that I teach tonight is strictly from the Word of God and is Bible based. And there's one thing about God's Word we discovered this morning. If we choose to obey God's commandments, He blesses us. And how many want to be blessed by the Lord? Amen. I'm going to go ahead and begin my teaching. Everyone say togetherness. Togetherness was a key to the formation and ministry of the early church. When you begin to look closely at the book of Acts, you discover that togetherness was a main key for why God did what He did. And I do believe in this last hour that we are going to experience a remanifestation and even greater works than what the book of Acts church experienced. That's why we call ourselves apostolic, because we follow the actions or the acts of the apostles. If you want to find out what being apostolic is all about or what Pentecost is all about, all you have to do is begin to read the book of Acts and you'll see the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the outpouring. Demonstration of God is all a indication of what it means to be apostolic. Acts 2 verses 42 to 47 tells us, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." And this is a church that does believe in signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. Even this past week, we've seen some signs, wonders, and miracles, and God performing them within our midst. "Now all who believe were together, that all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." Acts 4, verses 32 to 34 tells us, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was of his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." There's something connected with great power, great anointing, the Lord adding to the church daily, and our obedience to apostolic works. There's a distinct connection in the Bible. Breaking down Acts 2, we find that the believers that come together in the body of Christ, open to sharing their treasures, say treasures, to sharing testimonies, say testimonies, to sharing their time, say time, and sharing their talents, say talents. These are the four things that God has entrusted. Everyone say entrusted. If we have treasures, it's because God has entrusted them to us. If we have a testimony, it's because God gave us that testimony. If we have time, it's because God has given us life on earth, a day to live. If we have talents, it's because God has given us those gifts and talents. But we are simply stewards. We are not owners of any of these things. We are stewards. All these things are given to us on loan by God. And the Bible says, "To whom much is given, much is required." And we are required to be stewards. Say stewards. To be a steward, it simply means to be an overseer. See, in American society, we push so hard to try to own things. And it's a concept in America that if you don't own something, you don't have to take care of it. Thus, that's why there's exorbitant deposits when you rent houses, exorbitant deposits when you rent cars, because car companies and property owners have learned that most Americans are not taught to take care of something that they don't own. And it's a flaw within our society. But when we come to the point where we realize all that we have and all that we are, God has given to us for a space and time. You might own that house you're living in, or maybe you own the book that you're paying the payments on. Come on, somebody. Amen. Or you might own a piece of land, but when you've lived your life and you pass away, that will go to someone else. And then someone else will become the quote. So really, no one owns anything. It's just given to you for a space and time. And when we begin to understand this from that point of view, we understand that all that we have, our time, our talents, our treasures, everything God has given to us is on loan to us. And we are responsible to be good stewards. This is why the book of Acts, church, had such powerful revival. It was not just their fasting and praying alone. But to be apostolic, it contains a willingness to sharing your treasures, sharing your testimony, sharing your time, and sharing your talents. In these four areas, you can give God the greatest glory in your life. Now, we'll be able to impact our world with these things that God has given to us. Look at Acts 6, verses 1 through 3. Now, in those days, when the number of disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because the widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word," and the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, and a proselyte from the Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Now notice this. This was not necessarily a spiritual meeting. Nobody's raised from the dead here. Nobody spoke in tongues. Nobody danced. Nobody clapped their hands or prayed. This was basically just setting in order the business of the church. Making sure the widows were not neglected. Making sure that those that were in the church that were needy were cared for. Making sure that the business, everyone said the business. But see, when we choose to be discretionary and careful with our business, God is pleased. And God will also respond with supernatural acts and works. It's not enough just to come in, and our spirituality is not just tied to speaking in tongues or praying or clapping our hands or singing or reading our Bible, though all that is a part. How we handle our time, Monday through Friday, how we handle our finances, directly affects our spirituality. How we handle our testimony, whether we walk out of here and never tell anyone about Jesus, or whether we realize our lives are here on earth to give glory to God by telling others about the Lord. And many of you, sometimes God wants to give you promotions and positions, but He doesn't want that to give that to you to think you can just spend it on yourself, that God's just giving you that promotion so you can have more money, so you can have more things, so you can have a better lifestyle. And really, there's nothing wrong with all of that, as long as you don't just focus on that. But realize that if God blesses you or brings you into a place of promotion, it's because He wants you to share His gospel and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ with others. Everyone say amen? Now, because they chose to take care of and were careful in making sure that the business of the church was set in order and taken care of, notice, you see, we sometimes think that all God cares about is when we're in here praying or singing, and that God has no interest in our lives. My friend, God is there with you, looking for you to glorify Him when you're balancing your checkbook. When you're sitting and deciding whether or not you're going to give. Now, I gave an illustration on New Year's Eve night. I'm going to do it again. I'd like 10 young people to come and stand across the front here. Amen. The Bible talks about tithing. Everyone say tithing. It's a biblical concept. It being the first fruits. Amen. Praise God. Everyone say first fruits. Now, a common misconception. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We need 5 more. Praise God. Amen. If you're feeling froggy, jump up. Hallelujah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And you're number 10. She was number 10 last time. Well, she was number 1 last time. Anyway, first fruits means the first of the fruits, not one of the fruits. Common misconception is tithing is 1 of 10. It's the first of 10. What is blessed in your life is when you give the first of what God has blessed you. This is what's blessed right here. Step forward, honey. This is the first fruit. That's when you decide to give your tithing before you do anything else. Amen. Now, you can give number six here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six is not blessed. Oh, but it's 1 of 10. No. That's when you sit down and you don't glorify God, but you sit there and make sure, okay, I got every space covered, every bill paid. Now, can I pay my tithes? That's not blessed of God. What is blessed of God is not number six. It's not number nine. It's not even number 10. Even though it's still 1 of 10, it's, everyone say the first. Do you understand that? Amen. If you understand it, clap your hands to God and thank Him for it. God bless you, young people. As we discovered this morning in God's Word, there is blessing in obedience. A blessing in submitting our lives to God's Word. And so because they set an order, and every area of your life, all day long, every decision you make, God watches over you. And He looks to see, are you going to give Him glory? Are you going to give Him glory in the choices you make? And all that is directly tied to our spirituality. Amen. And you find that here, because they chose to take care of the business of the church, notice what happened in verse 7. Then the word of God spread. Now, let me paint you a picture here. They're taking care of the business of the church. They're making sure that God's things are taken care of and not neglected. The word of God spread. The numbers of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So, if taking care of business outside of the things we think are spiritual caused the word of God to be spread, the numbers of disciples to be multiplied, and a great number of pagan priests to come and be converted, then not taking care of the business hinders the word of God from being spread, hinders the multiplication of disciples, and hinders. Thus, that's why God has moved me to come to you as your shepherd, and to share with you this teaching on stewardship. Because if we choose together, everyone say together. Together as a church to be good stewards, God's going to bless us beyond measure. You believe that? Amen. Praise God. Now, same is true about the Pentecostals of St. Joseph. Now, for instance, how many churches in Buchanan County have the opportunity to develop an interstate frontage property? In my estimation, there's only like two. Think about it. How many churches in this city have the opportunity to develop an interstate frontage property? I mean, let us sink in what God has handed to us. Amen. Look around this church. Just right on Cook Road and look at all the houses. And I promise you, by the time we reach 2005, there'll probably be houses on both sides of Cook Road going all the way down. And they're already come and are starting to mark and talking about widening Cook Road to four lanes. We're fixing to be the center of a lot of attention, church. And God has placed, it will be a shame. It would be an absolute tragedy for us to sit on this property and just, you know, do nothing. And just stagnate and just, we need to develop every square inch of this property for the glory of God. Think about this. How many churches have the opportunity to open up residential care facilities for alcoholics and drug addicts? God just has made this possible to us. We're a long way from it. But miracle after miracle. Sister Lori, amen. Where you at? Praise God. Wave your hand. Amen. You know, God worked a miracle. We could not get zoned for this. We went down with Jonathan, they playing games. But one day we just prayed and put it in God's hands. And she went down there one day after about the eighth time. And the man just said, you know what? This entire city hall is a mess. We're moving. Just give me that paper. He stamped it, zoned it. We're done. God knows how to move the people who don't want it out of the way. And with God's will, He'll do it. Oh, come on, somebody. Praise Him. Everyone say, that's a miracle. Let me tell you something. This year, you're going to see miracles. You're going to see sovereign moves of God. You're going to see provisions to show step by step as we walk hand in hand in the timing of God that we're moving forward into something awesome and phenomenal. Amen. What church has the opportunity to open a training center for young men and women desiring to use in the ministry? And God's dropped in our heart, School of the Spirit. One of the main things we are needing for School of the Spirit to go forward is a server. Thanks to Brother Dusty, we just got a server. Amen. Free of charge. Amen. I've been talking to a young man from Hawaii that trying to get some time. He does it professionally. And he's, as soon as he can get a space and time, he's going to fly here. He's going to look into us getting a T1 line straight into this property. And we'll be able to stream our services live on the Internet. Which means now you can click on the Internet on your computer and see a live and they call St. Joseph service. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. Who has the opportunity to win hundreds of St. Josephans to the Lord through 40 or 50 home venture groups? Now, that's how many home venture groups we're going to be shooting for very soon. Amen. How many have the ability to connect, to equip, to involve, to reach? And that's the four areas of assimilating people into the kingdom of God. You first connect with them. How do we connect with them? Through small group ministry. Once you've connected them and you've got that connection, then you begin to equip them. How do they become equipped? It's when they make the step into on their decision, on their time, to become a greater part of this assembly. Then you involve them and then you reach out for more. Everyone say connect, equip, involve, reach. This isn't a 2-week process. It's not even a 6-month process. It takes time. But this is something that as we get smoother and smoother, we're going to have a smooth transition of connecting with people, involving them, equipping them, and then once we're equipped, involving them, reaching out for more. Connecting, equipping, involving, reaching out. Isn't that awesome? The Pentecostals of St. Joseph have been given this privilege. Amen. Will we as a congregation possess the land? Will we seize the opportunity God has given us? Cease only if we do it together. Say together. Yeah. And we got to do it today. We can't sit back and just say, well, one day. Amen. Let me tell you something. When you're in a big ship and you want to turn, you don't just say, okay, we're going to turn. Cruise liners, they have to decide up to 10 miles before they turn that they're going to turn. Because it takes a long time to make that kind of turn. And going to this multipurpose center church was a very simple project. Our next step is going to take a lot of time, deliberation, but as long as we're committed, as long as we're together, say together, we're going to go forward and we're going to possess the land. Coming together is the beginning. Say coming together. Keeping together is the progress. We've got to keep it together. We can't just lose it just because time goes by. And we realize this commitment is more than just 6 months, more than just a year. And working together, say working together, is how we have success. We must be steward together. Say togetherness. Amen. The church, first of all, we got to be together in our choice to make Jesus first. The Lord must be first in all that we do. And I'm asking each one of you families to make a conscious effort to make sure that everything you do, that you put Jesus at the top of it. Amen. Don't wait for pastors to come and talk with you about your commitments and your priorities. Make sure that Jesus is at the center of what you do. Amen. Then the challenge that the church has, and that's to reach out to the city. And our challenge is to change the world. And I believe we can change the world. Let's look at some of the things that the church was together in. First of all, the church was together in prayer. Everyone say prayer. Acts 1, verse 12 to 14 says, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. And Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication." This thing was born in the fires of prayer. The only way the apostolic church can thrive is in the fires of prayer. We must be together in prayer. Together at 5 o'clock, hour of power. Thank you for being respectful to our hour of power. That's what creates the atmosphere for our services. Let's clap our hands and thank God for that. Let me tell you something, church. I commend you. I absolutely commend you for your continual commitment. We We always have a good group of praying folks at Our Power. I commend these youths for their commitment to prayer during Our Power. I can't begin to tell you how many churches I go to preach at. That 30 minutes before church time, there's nobody praying. They just show up and expect God just to move. You send up vapor, that's how the power comes down. And the more vapor you send up, the more power. Hey, I'm getting ready to send more vapor up than we've ever sent before in this hour. And I urge you, don't forget your morning prayer times. If at all possible, come by the church. We have I know it's not real large, but we have a space over here designed, and that's one of the things about a growing church. As you grow, you start running out of space, and one day, maybe we can turn this whole sanctuary into a daily prayer time that people can come in here at will and pray. Amen. Praise God. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see 30, 40 people every day at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning in here praying and seeking God. Amen. It can happen, but it's got to start small, because they that are faithful in that which is least will be faithful in much. Amen. Praise God. But we have the prayer time, the prayer room. I commend the Word of Life Church and Pastor Brian Zahn for building their prayer chapel. And I went and visited it. And I tell you, it's incredible. And they open this 24 hours a day for people to pray. And they pay a night watchman to be there. And I think it's incredible. Hey, praise God. That's something the apostolics ought to be more interested in. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together and praise the Lord. They were together in prayer. Don't forget the time of family prayer on Friday and Saturday nights. It's a good time for you to gather your family around you and come for a time of prayer and seeking the face of God as a family. They were together in priorities. The Bible says they all came together to seek the face of God and to tarry and to wait on Him. They were together in patience. They're willing to wait 10 days. The outpouring is something. God didn't say, go to Jerusalem and tarry. And by the way, they didn't know if they were going to be there for a year. He said, tarry until. And they went. I'm sure by the fourth day, there might have been some grumblings. I don't know about this. Man, we're wasting time. I got this. Let me tell you something. When God says, seek my face, my friend, seek His face. Amen. Because they were willing to be together in patience. This is something I want to talk to you about, church. This next step we're taking is going to take some time. And if you've grown weary with pastor talking to you about our financial structure and being faithful, then you know what? This next step is going to be very heavy. It don't have to be heavy on us. But it's going to take patience on our part to be able to endure and work through a lot of different avenues of reaching out and seeing finances unlocked to have this thing released. Amen. But it's going to take time. Everyone say time. And we can't grow weary with the space of time. And you're probably going to hear me time and time and time and time and time again talk to you about what God's doing, going to do out here. Long before you ever see 1 ounce of dirt move or one thing done. But we're going to start building up and preparing. Say amen. For our next step. And I believe it's not going to take us 5 to 7 years. I believe we can do it in a few years. That's my faith. They're together in their possessions. They're together in praise. Amen. Here's our statement of purpose. First of all, our vision statement is reaching St. Joseph through body ministry. That's why we empower and we have small group ministry. Because we are a body ministry church. Amen. Also, empowering body ministry. And we spend a lot of time at this church training and equipping for leadership and for reaching out. Also, we reach out for 100% body involvement. Amen. We don't want anybody coming to Pentecost St. Joseph and just sitting back doing nothing. We can find a place for you to minister. For you to praise God. Amen. And there are four ways the church grows. The first growth is quality growth. Everyone say quality growth. And none of these types of growth can be skipped. And we are involved presently in all of these types of growth. Quality growth is, first of all, laying a firm foundation. And I've spent a year and 6 months carefully laying a foundation. But I was at General Conference. A prophetic minister came and ministered to Sister Arcovia and I. He ministered to her for over 30 minutes. And his name was Brother Jason Sisko. And during that time of ministry, God gave him prophetic word for this church. And that word was, he said, with Arcovio, I see your church suspended in the air for about 6 months. And God's hand is supernaturally on your church with great revival. He says, during this 6 months time, though, I saw you. And in the foundation of the church, there was a huge crack. The foundation was flawed. And you were there with a huge jackhammer. And boy, you were just busting that whole foundation out. You were just tearing things up. Sound familiar, church? But he said God had the church supernaturally suspended in revival. Then he said, quickly, it didn't take long. As soon as you have broken up all the foundation, another foundation, thank you, sweetheart, was laid. And he said it was three times as wide and as broad and as large as what the original foundation was. And I rejoice in that. Amen. Because I believe we are nearing the place where the finishing touches of that rebuilding of the foundation is taking place. And now God is going to begin building upon the foundation that He has laid. Let's clap our hands and thank God for that. Within this quality growth, it's going to be a firm foundation. It's going to be a foundation of things that will never be moved. There are some things in this church that will never change. Amen. It'll never change that you must repent of your sins. It will never change that when you get baptized in water, you'll go down in the name of Jesus, like the Bible says. It'll never change that you will need the Holy Ghost to make it. Amen. Because you won't make it in this hour just trying to play Pentecost, play church. You got to have power to overcome. Come on, somebody, praise Him. It'll never change this church that to be involved in leadership in this church, you're going to be expected to live a godly life. Hello, somebody. Amen. That foundation doesn't change. Then there is discipleship. That's the training and equipping. Amen. Then there is leadership development. That's going beyond training and equipping into those that want to take the step. And during my membership class, I teach the different levels of involvement in the church. And you have the very outside level, and I wish I had done a graphic on this, but there's an outside level of a circle, and the very outside level is people who just visit. And we have folks that we love that they just count the Pentecostal St. Joseph through home. And I'm glad they come. And every time they come, I come and shake their hand. I hug their neck. I tell them I love them. And I wish them a heart as a pastor. I'd see them more. But I'm glad they come. And that's fine. Amen. And I will never push them or expect more from them than that. If that's what they want to be. Because you've got to want to take that step of commitment. The next step is those that say, you know what? More than just visiting this church, I want to step forward and I want to become a member of this church. Amen. And that's a step of commitment. And there's a membership class for that to acquaint you with what we're all about. And that's wonderful. And there's certain benefits to being a member of the assemblies. And why is membership important? Membership's important because we live in a society that's uncommitted. I mean, in this society, you live together for 5 years to try things out and see if they work. No commitment. Amen. But there's something about commitment that's powerful. And when you it don't take much commitment to float from church to church. You know, lick your finger and test the spiritual winds and see what church you want to go to next week. The problem with that, with floating from church to church, is you don't have to be accountable to anybody. You're just accountable to yourself. And you can't grow. You'll forever be stunted. Amen. But then there's that next level beyond membership, and that's saying, I'm committed to growth. I'm committed to growing. I want to be developed. You step forward and say, I want to do more than just sit on the pew. I want to be used. Then the next step is committing to being a leader. That's showing your loyalties to the Word of God and allowing the scalpel of the Spirit to begin to change and adjust and work in your life. Then there's that inner leadership core. And that's the strength of the church. That's the pillars of the church. Amen. And these are all different levels of, and these levels are found in the quality growth. Then there's quantity growth. There's the quantity. That's as important as quality. You can't just say, well, we're just a quality church. Let's go. We might be a few, but we're holy. Give it a break. We're a small church, but we're clean. You know, All the excuses for lack of commitment. Along with quality growth, there must be quantity growth. And my vision for 2004 is for us to grow from 100 to 250. And we're on pace for that. Amen. And we can assimilate it with the Home Fellowship groups just fine. Amen. Clap your hands to God if you believe we can do that. And this quantity growth is directly tied to extension growth. Extension growth is the reaching out into the city through Home Fellowship Group Ministry. Then there is church planting growth, and we thank God for Pentecostals on the south side. Amen. Praise God. Now let's look at some of the diseases. What destroys church growth? What keeps a church from growing? First of all, ethnikos, which is community around the church being different ethnic group and those who attend the church. Now, this is not common in a city like St. Joseph. But sometimes in inner cities, there was a time when the area they were around was a booming area. But then you let 50 years go by, and then suddenly it changes and it becomes more of a ghetto-type area. And sometimes it hinders a church whenever they are targeting a certain quote-unquote, and I believe it's wrong for a church to quote, to target any type, or you should just reach for souls. Period. But sometimes, for instance, if you're in a high Hispanic area, it's not so much that you're prejudiced, but you may not necessarily be a Spanish-speaking church. And because the area suddenly becomes exploding with growth, and all the apartment complexes that 50 years ago were brand new are now old and run down, they move into it for cheap housing. And then that can really strangle, and more churches have had to relocate because it was strangling their growth. I thank God we don't have that problem. Amen. I thank God for the wisdom of Robert Bell in buying this property when it was cheap. Did you know he got this property for $30,000? Isn't that pretty incredible? Right now we are sitting on over $1 million worth of interstate property. Let's clap our hands and thank God for that. Another way is a ghost town. And this happened in Texas. In Texas there were cities that exploded. Especially in West Texas, where they went from up to 50,000 people overnight because of the oil boom. And then when the oil industry busted, people began to move by the droves. And this will destroy church growth in a city. I have a pastor friend in Peoria, Illinois, that he was running 500 people. And the church was blowing and growing. Then Caterpillar, which was the number one industry in Peoria, shut down. And his church went from 500 down to 150 in the space of 1 year. And it devastated him. And that was about 15 years ago. And he has slowly climbed back up to about 250. But it just really, that can devastate church growth. Amen. Then there's people blindness. That's where you don't target. No target group. Hindrances that keep a church from reaching their natural target audience. Amen. And what, two areas I feel in 2004, God wants us to target. I've already spoken of one, that is the college. I feel like God wants us to target and reach into Missouri Western. Amen. I believe there's a great revival to be untapped there. Amen. But I also really feel like God wants to give us a great influx of souls, of people that live right here on the north end of town. Amen. And I appreciate everybody that comes from all over St. Joseph. But I'm not afraid of people that have got education or have got financial means. I'm not scared of that. And I don't believe you've got to be poor to be Pentecostal. Hello, somebody. And I hope to God one day, the statement that was made in this church that you'll never live in 12 Oaks is absolutely proven wrong. I hope we got a good dozen saints that live in 12 Oaks. It don't make him any more spiritual, but they got a soul just like anyone else does. Oh, come on, somebody. Now, let me tell you something. If that bothers you, then we got a problem. Because this is one pastor that's going to reach out into it. I was talking to Brother Greg Collins, and he was telling me he's going to go for his master's. I said, thank God for that. You know why? That's going to bring him into a higher situation in his income and his job, but also bring him shoulders to shoulder and face to face with people that I believe that need the gospel also, that need the Pentecostal experience. Oh, come on, somebody, praise him. Some of you don't like that. You've got a bad spirit about it. You better pray through about that. Amen. Praise God. We're not trying to target anybody, but we are going to reach all souls. But I've been making active prayers. Amen. I pray that God will send us a couple of contractors to where we don't got to worry about our next building. Amen. They'll just come and do it. Oh, come on, somebody. When you got a vision to paint a wall, God will send you a painter. Hallelujah. Then there's sociological strangulation. Church growth experts say that when the facilities is 20% full, 80% full, at that point, you're too full. So, you take your building capacity, which means this building can seat about 280, comfortable. You take 80% of 280, it's going to be about 240. When you reach 240 in this place, you are packed. You can probably fit more people. But most people don't like coming into a building that is overpacked. That's just America. Amen. And I know this because I've already been down this road in large churches that had growth problems. Amen. But when you reach the place of being 80% full, that is a strangulation. And then hyper-cooperativism. And that means using the local church resources too much to try to cooperate with outside endeavors and outside crusades. Let me tell you something, church. We can only be involved. We can't run the circuit of every sectional meeting, everything that goes on, and I'm not going to be pressured to. There's a lot of stuff that goes on outside the four walls of St. Joseph. We've got to pick and choose what we're going to be involved with. If you're burning up the highway, going to every conference, every little thing going on outside the church, you are not going to fulfill your calling right here. You got to have a balance. Amen. And we're not going to become so over-cooperative with every single event out there. And that's the problem with most of the Pentecostal churches in Northwest Missouri. They are satisfied in having their fellowship rallies and potluck dinners and stingspirations. And I'm going to tell you why. It's much more than just fellowship. It's because they are not individually having revival in the church. They haven't been having revival for years, and they're not going to have revival. But they feel proud to be able to fill the house up with a bunch of other church saints and feel like, look at me, I got a big house full. That's a big sham. That is it's a cop-out. Amen. I don't want to fill this place with other people's saints. I want to fill this place with people that need God. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Then there's the St. John syndrome. This is the second generation of a church where it ceases to become a movement, then it becomes established. And that's where this church was in August of 2002. You were right, dead, slap, set in who you thought you were. And God had to come and shake you up and send a man by the name of John Arcovio to help that happen. Praise God. But thank God we're becoming a movement again. We're becoming alive, growing, hallelujah, organism of revival. Because the St. John syndrome brings arrested spiritual development. This is where you have a lack of spiritual energy. So all you're doing is coming to church, singing three songs, hearing a testimony, preaching, going home. Coming to church, come on, come on now. And you know the routine, over and over and over. Amen. And finally, this koinonitis, which is ingrown fellowship among members. And this is the final result of passing your movement stage, passing your life development stage. It's becoming set in your ways. Then you become inward, ingrown fellowship among the brethren, members, new members not wanted. You know what? When we begin to start having revival and moving and growing, the 1st of December, a certain person in this church, thank God they're no longer in this building. Amen. That'll sound right. Praise God. But anyway, they came to me, and this was what they said. They said, you know what? We had a good, tight church here before you came. I'm not kidding you. And he said, you know what? I walk in here, I don't even know what's going on anymore. I don't even know half these people around here. And you wonder why they're somewhere else where they got us for no more. Oh, come on, somebody. That ain't welcome in this house. We're going to grow. We're going to expand. Come on, somebody. Praise Him. Amen. I'd like the ushers to come now. And they're going to pass out a slip of paper. Amen. And these are for whoever would like them. Visitors, again, we do not expect you to receive one of these if you don't want to. But I would like all the members, part of the Pentecostal St. Joseph, to take one of these papers. This is a commitment paper. It's dreaming and doing. Last year, this time, we launched a project called So Built with the Wall. Tonight's going to be a night of recommitment. Now, listen to me. I don't want you filling this out tonight. I don't want an emotional commitment. I want you to take this home. And I want you to carefully pray over this. I would like every single member of the Pentecostals of St. Joseph, when you get your paper, hold it in the air, so I can know everyone has one. Amen. I want everybody to have one. Praise God. Brother Neil doesn't have one. Sinan doesn't have one. Praise God. Hold it in the air if you have it so I can see who doesn't. Lift your hand if you don't have one. All right, that's better. I'm sorry. Hand it backwards. But Don, why don't you come and help out? We've got far too many hands. On this paper, it says, I make my commitment to the Pentecostal St. Joseph. First of all, tithe. I commit to give 10% of my income to TPSJ in 2004. And this is a commitment to begin tithing if you're not tithing. Or it's a commitment that, yes, I'm already tithing, and I'm going to continue tithing. And the second part is for So Built with the Wall. So Built with the Wall is a financial commitment to help with the construction of our Family Life Center. And I thank God that our daycare is starting to take off. And God bless Sister Angie. Sister Angie is an absolute godsend. Amen. I thank God I have somebody in leadership I don't have to micromanage. Because I am not a micromanager. Amen. But she's doing an awesome job. And I commend her. And how many kids were you up to now? We have 8. And we got 3 more on the list, I believe. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. If you know anybody that would like to have their children cared for or interested in daycare, please be sure to see Sister Ann, because this daycare church is going to be what's going to free us to be able to take the next step. Our vision is to have 20 children. And when we reach 20 children, our mortgage payment will be taken care of. Then, whatever you give to Soul Built with the Wall will not go to the mortgage payment. It'll go towards finishing the improvements to the property and getting ready for the next step. Everyone say the next step. Isn't this exciting? Amen. God is awesome. Amen. Praise God. So you can make a recommitment to Soul Built with the Wall, and the recommitment simply reestablishes what you've already been giving. Or you can make a new commitment. And there's a place for one-time offerings or monthly commitments. Again, just bring this back next Sunday, and we'll receive these. Everyone say, stewards of our treasure. Luke 12 and 33 says, provide yourself with purses that do not grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail. The way you provide yourself with purses that don't grow old is through supporting the kingdom of God. The Bible says, give and it shall be given. The Bible says, there is that that giveth and has the more. And there is that that holds back and tendeth to lack. And that's the principle of financial stewardship. Martin Luther understood the words of Jesus. He said, I have held many things in my hands and have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. It's all about ownership. Who is the owner of your life? If God's the owner, He'll take care of it. If you lay up on this earth, thieves break through and steal. Moth and rust corrupts. You're putting it in a bag that has holes in it. Jesus speaks of an investment each of us can make that is not subject to recession or depression. An investment that provides true security. Jesus invites us to take inventory of what we are doing with our finances. What must a person recognize regarding God and finances? You must first recognize that God knows your needs. Secondly, He wants to supply your every need. God even wants to give you the desires of your heart. That's what He said. But you got to stop and say, who's the source of my supply? You see, if you think the source of your supply is your employer, if you think the source of your supply is your abilities, then you're not going to recognize God as a supplier, and you're not going to recognize that you're simply a steward. You're going to say, I worked hard for this, this is mine. But when you recognize God supplies everything, when God is the source of our supply, then you recognize He's the one that gave you that job. He may or may not even use your job to bless you. Amen. But He is the source of our supply. Why should I make God the source of my supply? God owns all the real estate. Hey, I don't care what kind of power you have. God owns this earth. Amen. He created it. Praise God. He owns all the cattle. Even the mad cow ones. He owns the financial world. He owns Wall Street. There's no shortage with God. And God has infinite avenues. But you've got to broaden your perspective. If all you ever do is sit down and say, God, bless my job. God, bless my job. You know, you're limiting God. Just say, God, I'm going to be faithful. Have your way in my life. I don't know where you're going to bless me. I don't know what avenue. Amen. And God will blow your mind. We serve an awesome God. A God that does not have lack. A God that's able to supply our every need according. That's why I can give liberally. That's why I can be thankful. Because He will take care of you. Everyone say amen. Amen. Stewards of our treasures. Martin Luther also observed, there are three conversions necessary. The conversion of the heart, the conversion of the mind, and the conversion of the wallet, or the purse. You know, some of us need to take out our wallets and say, God, save my wallet. Hallelujah. They're going to baptize my wallet in the name of Jesus or something. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because of these three conversions, the purse is the most difficult. Yet once that conversion is made, it becomes a source of blessing to many. Amen. Stewards of our treasures. Amen. We must put Jesus first. Church, we've got a challenge to impact Northwest Missouri like we never impacted it. It's standing before us. It's time for us to step forward and face this challenge. Amen. Let's skip that one. Now, say together in patience. True progress is a relay race. It's not one single event. And I'm preparing you for this, church, because we've got a long journey ahead of us to see this next step. And though we saw this happen quickly, this next step will not happen as quickly. We've got to have patience because the size of the project we're going into and also the opportunity that God has given us at the corner of Cook Road and Interstate 29. In every age, there comes a time when a church must come forward to meet the need of the hour. Therefore, every church is given an opening to grow and reach more people. Sadly, not every church seizes that opportunity. Why? Why do most churches sit on 9 acres of property and do nothing? Why? Let's look at it. Selfishness? Yeah. Mine. My money. My car. Come on now. Selfishness. Oh, but if I give, I won't have enough money to put aside for my kids' education. Honey, you think you're going to save enough money for education at the rate things are going? Get a life and get real. Trust God. God will put your kid in Harvard. If that's the will of God. Come on, somebody. Now, I'm not just saying throw caution to the wind, but don't think you're going to have everything planned out so perfectly that you're going to do it all. At the rate of inflation, the way things are going, Don't put a lot of stock in that, my friend. Unwillingness to change. I'm going to pastor for a few minutes here. I was praying tonight and I saw a sign that said, Nickel Drive. Raise your eyesight. Pennies and nickels, a day of that's over. I don't want to see a sign that says quarter drive. Come on, somebody. Bring your quarters. Is that all right? Well, it's the way we always done it. You know, line up pennies. You can't go into the next step with yesterday's methods. We're not going to sell peanut brittle around here. We're not going to have taco sales or enchilada sales. Hello, somebody. I mean, if somebody wants to go and make some peanut brittle and sell it, knock yourself out. But God's going to supply some needs with some opportunities for great finance coming in. You hear you, Pastor. You hear me in the Holy Ghost. It's not going to be nickel drives. It's not going to be knocking door to door selling eggs. Amen. Don't be going door to door trying to get money for this church. You're trying to take things in your own hands. Quit. Let God be God. He'll supply our need. Just be faithful where you can be faithful. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together and praise Him. Lack of commitment. Yeah, we want revival. You show up to God's outpouring with a thimble. Fill my cup, Lord. Yeah. Often it comes by. Chunk your $5 bill in. Toss in your. There are people that give more in tips to stewardess, to waiters, than they give to God's kingdom. The average American spends more money on dog food in a year's time than they do reaching missionaries. That's right. Come on now. Feed a dog. That's America. It's blowing money. Lack of leadership or vision. The leader's lost his vision. The leader's just abiding. He's just maintaining. This is things that keep a church from growing. Every great accomplishment begins with a dream. But no dream is ever accomplished without a plan and the people to make the plan work. Amen. Again, our plan, church, is this year to get stabilized, to get our building payment taken care of, to get the finality of our projects and improvements on this property finished, and to begin with blueprints, talking with architects, engineers, earth movers, lawyers, about how are we going to put this 1200-seat auditorium over here. Come on, somebody. Amen. Some of you ain't excited about that. But you know what? You weren't excited about the building when I first talked about it. You sat back and said, yeah. I'll believe it when I see it. Well, honey, you saw it, so now believe it. I think you know by now I don't miss words. I want you to get together in your home friendship groups. And we're going to change our... Remind me this week, we need to adjust our goals and guidelines to include some of these things, and also to adjust for the Mark Worth our guidelines in the beginning to involve G2. Amen. Instead of multiplication. But I want you to get together as cell group leaders and print out Psalms 135. And this week, I want you to read Psalms 135 together during your time of vacation. And then pray. 145, thank you. Praise God for the miracles He's done. And spend time this week praising Him for what He's about to accomplish in 2004. How many of you home friendship leaders will do that? Thank you. God bless you. Faith and the situation are always at odds when we're obeying the voice of God. I want you to take 10 minutes this week to think about the times when God has provided you for your personal needs in the past. Matthew 6:19-21 says, lay not up treasures for yourself on the earth, where moths and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal, but lay yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Life is not about things. Life's not about accumulation. Life's not about getting ahead. Life is about fulfilling your purpose. And your purpose is to give glory to God with your life. To give glory to God with your finance. To live for the eternal. If all you live for is the here and now, you're going to live very shallow. When you live for the eternal, amen, your life will be changed. Praise God. I have never, ever regretted Brother Joseph living for the eternal. I sat in offices and counseled people who sold out to a job, who gave 45 years of their life and sweat and blood to some man, and all he got was a watch. And God's give you mansions in heaven, blessings on earth. I'd rather sell out for a soul. I'd rather pour my life out to see God's kingdom go forward. That's what's worth it. Not chasing a rabbit out there of finance and position and possession. Oh, come on, somebody. Unless you're faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. If you cheat even a little, you won't be honest in great responsibilities. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true wealth? If you're not faithful with other people's money, will you be trusted with the money of your own? No man can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. You cannot chase after becoming secure and having a fancy nest egg and fulfill God's will. They will constantly oppose each other. You got to sell out to Jesus and trust Him, and He will take good care of you. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. In closing, if you'd like to stand, I'm beginning to close. Ask yourself, what would be the first thing you did if you find out you won $1 million? Let me tell you what I did in November. I sat down at my computer and took 3 days. And I typed out a game plan. What I would do if God blessed me with $1 million. I've already got it typed out and ready to go. I wouldn't have to think about it. It's already been all allocated. It's been set in different places. Everything's set up. That's the kind of faith you got to have. Paul Mitchell said, that'll never happen to me. You're not ready. I'm poised and ready, church, for God's blessings. I'm ready to move. I won't need but 30 seconds to type out that paper, and I'm ready to roll. Hallelujah. And probably 80% of it is all kingdom-based. Amen. I've come full circle, church. Absolutely full circle. I'm telling you, you're looking at a pastor that's ready to sell out again. He's ready to pay the price. Ready to make the sacrifice. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to go forward. Amen. Closing, we can learn a lot about giving from the Macedonians. I like the Macedonians. Throw 2 Corinthians 8 up there for a moment. Just, you can come back to PowerPoint. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. How the most severe trial, their overflowing joy, and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. It's 2 Corinthians 8, Brother Chris, starting with verse 1. I want you to look at this. This is a powerful, powerful passage. This convicted me. Moreover, brethren, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, and it'll be a little different, I'm reading from the NIV version. Out of the